This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yeah, Basir.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not yet.
Ubaid, are we ready? Ubaid? Waiting for the okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursalin sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, the 29th night of Ramadan. It could be the last night of Ramadan. Oh, Allah could bless us with another night tomorrow. We'll only find out tomorrow evening when we go and sight the moon. And I know there's a lot of questions. Is Eid going to be on Wednesday or Thursday? And I spoke to the head of the Mankaker Society and he said he doesn't know. So even he didn't get the update yet. So we'll just have to wait and see, inshallah. Before we start the lecture, our Hufad, who led us in Salah, they need to leave for another engagement. So we wanted to express our heartfelt thanks and shukr to them for leading us during this month in Taraweeh. And alhamdulillah, it's always an honor and a privilege to have people who have memorized the Quran and come and stand here at Burano. I know we don't lead the full Quran, and so alhamdulillah, we appreciate that they make time for us. And of course, to the Musallis for choosing to do your ibadat, to have your salah here with us. That's the greatest honor for us, alhamdulillah. So we give a shukr first to Qari Abdulaziz Brown for leading the salah. Qari Abdulaziz, please come forward. At Burano, it's the first year that Qari is with us, but inshallah, one of many. There's lots of prizes that we give. So
this is for the Burano family.
This is for all of them. One bag. Okay, that's for every. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of things in there, inshallah. Okay, so. Yeah, Jazakallah khair. And then just to mention all the other names, Qari Abdul Hamid Brown, if you can all come up as well. Qari Musa Brown. I think Hamad is not here tonight. Yeah. Hamad as well. And Abdurrahman? Abdurrahim. Okay, he's Abdurrahman, yeah. Abdurrahim, yeah. He's not here this evening. Jazakallah khair. And this is the Brown family. Jazakallah khair. So we said Jazakallah khair. This is the first year that the family is with us. We hope this is the first of many. Bi-idhnillah. Ameen. Shukran so much. Jazakallah khair. We also... Oh, still a picture? Done? Okay. You're done. Shukran. Yeah. Yeah, no. The now we call up... Muhammad Ziad Anslow. Hey, oh, okay. Oh, sorry. We still. Okay. This pictures.
Yes, for the records.
For the records, okay. Jazakallah khair. Hafiz Muhammad Ziad. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair for you. This is your first year with us, Jazakallah khair as well. So we appreciate your efforts. Yeah, Talib? Okay.
Is
that Ziyad? Shukran. Okay, I'll stay in my... okay. Standing on the podium, okay? Shukran. And Ziad's younger brother, Rayyan. MashaAllah, Rayyan, this was a first time standing in front. And I think, alhamdulillah, we were all nervous with you. But you've done well. Alhamdulillah, we appreciate it. And inshallah, Allah grant you many years as a hafiz and to lead us in salah. I mean, shukran so much.
I'm sure you'll be stronger next year.
Next year, inshallah. Shukran so much. Take a picture quickly.
Stand it,
okay. Okay, the side. Shukran. So, Rayyan, jazakallah khair. And then Muhammad Zunaid, who really was leading the Khufad, he's not here this evening, unfortunately. Couldn't make it.
His father will be here.
Oh, is his is dad here to accept?
Siddiq.
Alhamdulillah.
Shukran
so much. We're very fortunate to have Zunaid leading, and mashallah, shukran. Jazakallah khair.
Okay.
So shukran, with that, we will do the longer thank you ceremony a bit later. There's a lot of Bilals, so we have to, we'll keep them for a bit later. Yeah. So we'll move to the lecture now, inshallah. We'll move to the lecture. What did we give out there to everybody? Is that a scarf or something? A towel. You get a towel, you get a towel, everybody gets a towel. Okay, so Zakar. Shukran. Everybody gets a little prize. That's the barakah yad Burano. Alhamdulillah. Right, well, alhamdulillah, we continue our series, The Revival of the Islamic Spirit. And as I said, it's a very difficult way. You always want to end off, and they lived happily ever after. But unfortunately, as we know, we are living in the end, where the series ends is where we are right now. And we know that we are in a bit of a low point in the Ummah. And last night we concluded with the end of the Khalifa, or the end of the last Khalifa. The office of the Caliphate still remains vacant, and it has been 100 years since we had no Khalifa. For the first time in our history, no enemy, no catastrophe, no calamity was able to stop and abolish or end the line of the Caliphates. The last Khalifa, however, was abolished in 1924, the 3rd of March, when Mustafa Kemal Ataturk declared Turkey a republic. He ended the Ottoman Empire, he ended the Sultanate, and with that the Caliphate ended as well. So, interesting, subhanAllah, and everything goes back to a hadith. The Nabi says that, I will remain with you as a Nabi for as long as Allah wants, and then Allah will take me away, and that will end Nubuwwah. Nubuwwah will come to an end. Then Allah will raise, then there will be a Khalifa, a Caliphate, upon the methodology of the Nabi. There will be a succession of Khalifas on the methodology of the Nabi. And it will last for as long as Allah wants. In another hadith, he says for 30 years. And then Allah will raise it and take it away. And he will replace it with this hadith, Addan means to bite, but it means like a good kingship. A just kingship will replace the age of the Caliphate. So it's not like the Khalifas on the methodology of the Nabi. Now these are kings, but these are good kings. And they will remain for as long as Allah wills it to remain. Then Allah will remove that kingship, and He'll replace it with a tyrannical kingship, or tyrannical rulership over the Muslims. And that will remain as long as Allah wants it to remain. Then He will remove that, and He will return it back to the Khalifa of the Nubuwwah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, many of the scholars have tried to say, when is this and when is that? We definitely know when the Khulafa Rashidin ended. We know we had some great kings that were good. Some have mentioned that the tyrannical rulership was when the Caliphate ended and we're living in the times of non-Muslims ruling over us. Could be this. Some have mentioned that, you know, long ago the tyrannical rulers have come, and we are now basically waiting for Imam Mahdi. Allahu A'lam. But it falls in line. Every history plays out as the Nabi Sallam had mentioned. Although we should not be fatalistic. Some have said, well, we just sit and wait. The next Khalifa will be Imam Mahdi. It might be the case, but we also don't wait until that happens. However, what have we seen in the last 100 years? So perhaps now we can get some sense of what's going on in the world. Why are things happening in the world? It was because with the fall of the Ottoman Empire and the fall of all the Islamic states, it was an sort of an unequivocal victory lap for the European powers and European ideology. It wasn't just a military victory. It was that secularism is right. We need to remove religion from government, from economics. Religion is only something you do in your masjid, at your janazah, or at your wedding. That liberalism is the way to go. People are free to choose and live how they want. And Western ideology now creeps into our ethics, our morality, our identity, our sexuality. Now, the Western paradigm is seen as the ultimate right. That is the way to go forward. And everyone who's not aligned with Western ideals, you are backwards and you need to catch up. This is what's been happening for the last 100 years. And there are many Muslims who subscribe to that. We have been programmed that this is the only way, that if we don't become Westernized, we'll remain backwards. There were, of course, attempts to push back, to revive the caliphate. In fact, the first major ulama conferences, global conferences, was about establishing a caliphate. This was immediately after the fall of the Khalifa. They had conferences in Jerusalem, conferences in Cairo, conferences in Indonesia, even Geneva, trying to put together who would be the Khalifa. Some names were motivated. The king of Morocco, the Sharif of Mecca, even the kings, the Saudi kings were nominated to be the Khalifa, but there was no consensus. And ultimately, this project kind of fell through the roof, and there's been no further attempts really on a global scale to re-establish the caliphate at the moment. But because of that, you had many grassroots movements that rose up. And this is the tension between what we call political Islam. We have Islamist parties. We have groups that are calling for politics to remain in the hands of... We're not going to separate between Islam and the politics and the government. And therefore groups like... Now you understand why we have groups like... There's a group called the Khalifat movement, who ultimately resulted... They started off to establish a caliphate in India. They weren't able to establish a Khalifa, but they managed to establish Pakistan. So from that movement, when India got split, when England left, there were a group that said, we want a country that is based on Islamic ideals. And of course, they said, well, how is this possible? Majority is Hindu. They said, well, those areas that are Muslim, they want to live under Sharia. So that became a country called Pakistan. Bangladesh and Pakistan were together. So this Khalifat movement actually resulted in the formation of Pakistan. And then we see like Ikhwan al-Muslimin, we see Hizb al-Tahrir, all these names, Jamiat al-Ulama, Jamiat al-Islami, even the Tabligh Jamaat, all these grassroots levels, groups are trying to revive and re-establish Islam. You also see, like we spoke about Ibn Taymiyyah, the Ummah knows we're in a bad state. How do we fix it? Many would say, let's go back to the original sources. We fight against bid'ah. We're in tasawwuf, all these things. Salafism, all of these groups. You understand why these groups are there. Because it's a reaction. We want to get back. We want to be strong again. How do we fix the problems? While this is happening on the ground, there are many, the world changed from colonialism to post-colonialism. Even though England won the war, France won the war, they could no longer keep their colonies. And country by country, they became independent. So many countries are really brand new. I mean, I think if you look at Algeria, we spoke with Algeria, they were fighting, we spoke about Amir Abdul Qadir. He fought in the 1800s against the French colonialism. They were only given their independence in 1960. 1960, subhanAllah. They've been fighting for over 100 years to get rid of the French. And so many of these countries are new. They are trying to figure out how to govern, how to establish themselves, how to undo the mess that the colonial powers have done. In 1 year, I think it was also 1960, in 1 year, 17 African countries became independent. It was called the Year of Africa. And so all these countries are entering a new age. And you would see that different countries had different types of rulers. You had those countries where the colonial power left, but they left a puppet government or a puppet monarchy. Those monarchies, and they keep bolstering them, supporting them. Some of them are the wealthiest countries in the world because the colonial powers kept them there and want them there. Other groups, they were put there as colonial puppets, but then the military overthrew them. That's why you have constant coups, the military taking over. Many of the African countries, the military is in charge. Why? Because they took control once the colonial powers left. And that's why you have civil wars. Non-stop civil wars. I'll show you a slide that of the 50 Muslim majority countries, 36 of them went through some kind of civil war in the last 100 years. This is the legacy of colonialism. The legacy of once the colonial powers left. Remember, they created brand new countries out of nowhere. Think about Cape Town, for example. Just I give you an example. Let's talk about the rise of nation states. We'll talk in a minute. So therefore, we have civil wars, revolutions. The Iranian revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini, what is this? What's happening? The people are tired of a secular government, Western government, and they want an Islamic kind of rule, and that's what happened to the Iranian revolution. And you have, of course, in the Middle East, you had the Arab Spring. Muslim Islamic parties overthrew their military rulers, but then overnight or a year or so later, the military came back into power. And so we constantly have this political instability. And the Nabi Sallam also speaks about a time like this. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu asked the Nabi about all the weird things about Dajjal and the end of times and Qiyamah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when things get bad, what do you advise me to do? So the Nabi says, Hudhayfa, when things are like upside down, you don't know what is good from bad, stick to the Jama'ah, stick to the majority of the Muslims, and stick to its leader. Don't be a fringe movement. You stick with the Jama'ah and you stick with its leader. So then he said, Ya Rasulullah, what if there is no Jama'ah and there is no leader? What if there's no Jama'ah and no leader? So the Nabi says, then avoid all these groups of fighting one another. Don't get involved in this group fighting with that group, this one causing civil war again, that one. You then, even if you need to be alone, but you keep yourself out of the fitna as best you can. And so we have a highly disunited ummah. In the time of the caliphate, of the and with all their faults and all their failures, there wasn't a concept of I'm Turkish or I'm Syrian or I'm Arab. There was still a feeling of an ummah. That when you waged war against one country, it was all of us. Even though no one jumped in and supported them, but it was a feeling of an ummah. Now, this is a Arab problem. It's a Palestinian problem. It's a Burmese problem, a Kashmiri problem. It's not my problem. And this is one of the rise, we said, the disunited fragmentation of the ummah and the rise of what we call nation states. Now we have everyone is forming their own country. And you can think about this, everyone forming their own country. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, Cape Town became independent. Now there's a party that wants to cede. You saw that? There's a political party that wants to make like a cup exit, you know? Cape Town must exit the rest of South Africa. Now imagine the Western Cape exits. And now in the Western Cape, we have sort of countries. We say Sea Point, that's for the Zionists, that's the Jewish country. So then obviously the Muslims are going to say, well, I want to have my own country here in the Blue Cup. We must have our own country. Now what happens to the Muslims living in Sea Point? And the Jews living in the Blue Cup, because of this rise of nationalism, you saw the biggest atrocities in human history, the Holocaust, genocide, because this idea of you are aligned to a national ethnic group and you only look after yourself and the others are alien and foreign. This is what gave rise to extreme racism, extreme Nazism, fascism, and why we saw the Holocaust. You didn't have this. In the Ottoman Empire, yes, you for hundreds of years, Muslims, Jews, Christians, Arabs, Kurds, Turks lived side by side. They all spoke their own language. They all followed their own religion. There was hostilities, of course. There were times with extinction, but there wasn't genocide. All of this happened after World War I, and that's why you're going to see in World War II, you have a Holocaust. You have a Holocaust. And so as I said, with the rise of Muslim countries, there are about 50 Muslim majority countries. 36 of them have seen war, have seen some type of even genocide in the last 100 years, because we don't have a united front. We are a massive ummah, 1/3 of the world's population, but each one is being picked off one by one. And no one stands up and no one does anything. It was strange. When we speak about it, it felt so strange. How could the Crusaders conquer Jerusalem and no one did anything? Well, they're doing exactly now. How can a small group of people invade Palestine and the Muslim Ummah around watches and not do anything? Our great grandkids will say the same thing about us. May Allah grant us a tawfiq. But there is something positive. Without a Khalifa, without a Pope, without a clergy, without political power, without economic power, being oppressed and all of that, we are still here. This Ummah still stands. This Ummah still remains. This Ummah will not give up its religion. Religion has lost out throughout the world. Temples and churches, synagogues are empty. It's only masajid that are open. You'll only find a masjid that is up whole night from Maghrib until Fajr, 27th of Ramadan. Everybody, mosques are full across South Africa. Now imagine a tiny Muslim minority in the bottom of the world. What about heartland Islam? Islam is still here. Whereas religion has receded and given in to this wave of atheism, Islam still holds the flag, still raises the flag for religiosity. And so this is something which Allah promised the Nabi Sallam, that this ummah will not fall through external forces. This ummah will remain until the Qiyamah Sa'ah. We'll go through good days and bad days, but it will never end. Yes, we'll fight, we'll have disasters, but the ummah will remain forever. And Allah promises that as there are low points, there will always be a revival. That wave of revivalism will come. Either we will live to see it, or even better, be part of it. But it will come. It is a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Inshallah, in conclusion, and we are over time now, to what reflections or way forward for us as an ummah. Going through the series, we find certain common threads. If you want your country to be weak, fight against one another. argue and debate, ally with your enemies, depend on outside forces. Ulama should stop thinking and researching. Ulama should spend more time criticizing one another. That is the path to destruction. And of course, the path forward is that if we want to fix this ummah, some of the things, the ingredients that we need to do to fix this ummah is we need to, number one, decolonize our minds. Remember our long history of success and power and izzah. I think that's one of the first things. Look at that we genuinely conquered the world. We have a winning formula. This is not theoretical. We really, this deen has shown it will take a group of Arabs in the middle of nowhere, in the desert, to rule the world. And as Sayyidina Umar said, we were nothing before Islam, and when we leave Islam, we'll be nothing again. We have shown also that this we have seen 100 years of secular rule. It hasn't brought us anything. It hasn't brought us anything. So it's not even a theoretical discussion. We also need, I think, if you look at all these revivalist movements, it always began with the ulama. And what at the end of the day, if there's any blame, and perhaps that is why we see that hadith, that very scary hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, the very, very first people will put in Jahannam, not Iblis, not Fir'aun, not your mother-in-law, sisters, the very first person that's going to Jahannam are the ulama. Very scary. The first people that go to Jahannam, the ulama. And so, this deen is held and it's preserved through its ulama, or it falls through its ulama. We need strong, good, successful ulama. It is in our own interest as Muslims to make sure our ulama and our ulama bodies, our shuyukh, are well established, that they are independent, that they can think clearly. So we need good and strong ulama. And then we need other skills. We don't need a community of only maulanas and sheikhs. We need doctors and lawyers and engineers and plumbers. But not doctors and lawyers, engineers and plumbers who only work for the next holiday. Work for the ummah. Bring your skills. Bring your wealth. The Nabi says, how beautiful is it when Allah joins money and a good man, puts it together. Skills and a good person. Have the focus of, I want to build this ummah. I'm going to be part of it. And that's how together we build this ummah. And we put our differences aside for a common good. We need to, of course, look at grassroots. We are, subhanAllah, illiterate from the dunya perspective, as ummah speak, illiterate from a dunya perspective and illiterate from a deen perspective. We don't need a khalifa to tell us that our kids, each one must take responsibility. Our kids must have this, you know, we are ummah of ikra. And so we build from that, building institutions. We need to solve real world problems. The deen is not something only in the masjid. We need to feed people, build houses, take care of women that are destitute. That is what the Nabi came to do. He fixed the society. So before we need a khalifa to tell us that, we at a community level need to do those things. And with that, economic self-sufficiency, soft power, engaging in politics, and inshallah, with those ideas and thoughts, may Allah grant this ummah to revive itself. Remember, the ummah will always remain. Islam will always remain strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. And we make dua that we will see and live through the next wave of revival. That inshallah, we will be part of it. And not for the sake of our history and names to be done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write for us that we, the next chapter of the ummah of izzah, it will be us that writes that chapter. Ameen. Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. This was a wonderful series for me, and I hope it was beneficial to you. May Allah accept from us. Ameen. So our last bit of Q&A, and it befitting, who was the last caliphate, the last khalifa of the ummah? What was his name? Abdul Majid II. Abdul Majid II, and I said he died sadly, very sadly, in France, but alhamdulillah is buried in Medina. From Sayyidina Abu Bakr to Abdul Majid, that is the last line of the caliphate. Sister Qadiriya Bully? She here? Not here. Okay. Auntie Farida? She here? MashaAllah, Auntie Farida. Okay. MashaAllah. And Muhammad Salih Salih. Jazakallah khair. We continue with our any announcements? With the Talib, is announcement. Okay, shukran. Shukran.
It's very important announcement that I would like to call on our chairman, Parliament, to give a vote of thanks.
Okay.
We
should keep this one. No, this is the link. This is for the online.
No, that's okay. It's fine. I don't think so either.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Clear?
Yeah, look at the mic. It's for the outside
room. Oh, I don't have a mic.
Oh, yeah, that one also.
I must put this one also. Okay. All right.
And then use this one also.
And I must use this one. Yeah. I don't have to use this one. Okay.
That's the other problem.
Okay. I mean, we can hear. Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are at the last stages of Ramadan. And it seemed like this yesterday that we started Ramadan. And Ramadan pushes us and asks us to bring out the best in us. And the best in us is normally associated with being of benefit to others. And alhamdulillah, I think many of us, if not all, can testify that we've witnessed some act like that during the month of Ramadan. And as per the tradition here at Burhan, we would like to show and express our gratitude to everybody involved in all the proceedings during Ramadan. And so we start, of course, with our Sheikh, who's had a fantastically engrossing series. It was like a Burhanul revival channel here, you know. It was really, really wonderful, Sheikh. So jazakallah for that. Then to our assistant Imam Majidi, who so ably assisted with the Isha of Vitor Salah. And then we have Buddha Talib, who's always standing in for whatever needs to be done. Alhamdulillah. We had our Bilals, Hamim and his team. And we had our runner, questionnaire runner, Maimoon, doing whatever he has to do. And we had Uncle Boy, who behind the scenes make sure that the mosque just functions, it's clean, everything is as it should be. Very invisible, but his actions and what transpired is absolutely visible. And then to our catering team that saw to all the goodies for Salatul Layl, really, really has been wonderful. I haven't, and I've missed out on the Hufaz, but Sheikh has done that, but particularly the Hufaz for Salatul Layl. My goodness, did you not only kept us awake, you entertained us with your beautiful recitation of the Quran, alhamdulillah. So jazakallah for that. Okay. And now to hand out some gifts of appreciation. Sheikh, you've received your jazakallah for that. Okay. And then Majidi, please. Okay. Hey, come, we need some pictures here.
Take a picture, yeah.
Then Luqman, is Luqman here?
Yes.
Please, Luqman. It's a pleasure listening to you, Amin. Alhamdulillah. Come to stand here for a pic, otherwise they...
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to edit in chief here. Exactly. Okay. Then Zaid. We have Zaid here. Zaid. Here we come. Zaid.
Zaid.
You can do that. Come stand for a pic.
Oh.
Okay. We need to record our annals in this video. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then Zaid. Let me put Raiz.
Raiz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Raiz not here? Then Inam, Inam Salih. Not yet. Then Hamim Khan, our beloved leader and trainer of all the youth. Alhamdulillah. Come for the pick, Hamim. Fuad Peters. Fuad is not here. Adnan. Adnan is here. Adnan, come stand for the pick. Okay. Oh. Shaheen David. Ibrahim Abrams. Okay. Abdulaziz, is here? Nope. Absent. Rushdin Arifdin. Okay. And Hajj. Yusri Doughty. Yes, Rushdin. Come, Yusri. Riyad Peters. Yazid Emran. Epson. Yusri Williams. Mikhail Adams. Zakaria Adams. Come stand here for a pick. We need a pick for you. And if Ra'i Khan? Not yet. Okay. And Riyan Sadi. Muhammad Salih Sali. Mishael van Heerden. Hanif Salih. Come. Adam Kasim. Adam Kasim.
Adam. Adam.
Ali Adams. Maimun Basir. With a Yusuf Jua. And Ubaid Basir, that's for you. That's seen all to the electronics and the digital stuff. Okay.
We've got Raiz here.
We have Raiz.
Okay. Raiz and
there we go. Come, sit for a bit. Mr. Cameraman. We have another one. Inam. So that is it. Just a few words before we begin with our Layl Salah. No doubt Ramadan brings with us a strong sense of community. Oh, okay. Come, all the Bilals together, please, for a picture.
While they're sitting down for a photograph, I just want to thank our chairman, Mr. A. Solomon, and his wife, Auntie Nazli, for the duties that they did in Ramadan. They were very active indeed, and we really appreciate it. Auntie Nazli especially. It was catering for us for the Salatul Eid. We say shukran kathiran to you. Shukran very much. And to Tasheed, shukran to you as well.
Okay, just a few last words from me. It's just to say that, you know, as I said before, Ramadan brings in a sense of community, but the sense of community translates into being a Jama'ah at this mosque here. But we can't have a Jama'ah if there's nobody that shows up. And so, clearly, with you being here and being with us in Jama'ah, it just completes the picture. And so, a little pat on your back for making the effort to be with us here, inshallah. Okay? Small one, yeah. Okay. But lastly, we'll make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all an Eid which is joyful and blessed. Amen, inshallah. Okay. And that inshallah next year we all shall be joined in witnessing another Ramadan. Amen, inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir.
For who?
Oh,
okay.